It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Mike Florio with Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Time to talk football with Mike Florio. He's at Pro Football Talk. Creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk is with us on the Score Hotline. Brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. What's up, Mike?
What's going on?
Mike, you're running a special on your book this week?
99 cents. You can't find anything for 99 cents. The ebook on Amazon through Saturday. I'm trying to get more people to buy it and read it so they'll buy the sequel. There is a selfish motive to all this. But at the end of the day, you don't make money writing books. I've learned that over the past few years between Playmakers and Father of Mine and On Our Way Home and Son of Mine and all the other ones I've written. I write because I enjoy it. You don't make money unless you come up with the next Harry Potter. So why not make it cheap? Give people something they can use as an escape from our troubled world. It's nice to go into another world and lose yourself in a good book, and then you close the book, and it's back to reality.
I will say that I've got some bad news about media now that you found that out about books. Just saying.
Wait till you hear about newspapers.
Wait till you hear about Ja'Marr Chase. What's going on there aside from Joe Burrow's haircut, which is another conversation?
Well, I mean, the Bengals are proving that the more things change, the more they stay the same, even though they have kind of fallen into this team that has a great roster because they were too stubborn in 2020 to entertain trade offers for the first overall pick. The Dolphins desperately wanted to come up and get Joe Burrow. The Bengals said, no, we're taking him. Burrow, who I have heard many times, if he was from Athens, Georgia, and not Athens, Ohio, would have refused to play for the Bengals. But they've paid him, and now they're going to play it cheap with the supporting cast. Franchise tag for T. Higgins. No contract this year for Ja'Marr Chase. And Mike Brown, the owner of the team, said the pie isn't getting any bigger. Of course it's getting bigger. It gets bigger every year. We see the salary cap go up and up and up. And Joe Burrow's in the early years of his long-term contract. The salary cap numbers aren't prohibitive. You can make this happen if you want to. The question is, do you want to spend your cash? There's a difference between cash and cap. And I think some owners hide behind the salary cap as justification for keeping the cash in their coffers. And I think that's exactly what the Bengals are doing. And they're hoping that Joe Burrow is good enough. You can combine Joe Burrow with all the cheap players that you can draft and you have under the rookie wage scale for 4 years at a clip. Maybe we don't have to pay big money to anyone else to make this thing work.
Meanwhile, there's another quarterback in focus for different reasons because of last night's Hard Knocks episode and what we learned from Joe Shane and what happened or didn't happen on draft day with the Giants. How do they go back to Daniel Jones and say, like, we believe in you. Go get him, big fella. Because it sure looked like they wanted any kind of avenue to move in another direction.
Another reason why it makes no sense to do the offseason Hard Knocks. Preseason, fine. You're talking to players. You're coming up with storylines that way. In season, you're in the grind. Offseason, the front office and its machinations are the only thing to focus on. And we're learning through this Giants series that they're all full of crap to a certain extent. They all say one thing and do another. They don't play their cards. See, this is the Giants showing their cards after the hand was played. And I don't know that that's good, because it does undermine the faith in Daniel Jones. And it will give media and fans, if the Giants sputter, it will give them ammunition to start calling for Drew Lock, because they already know the team is wobbly. And no matter how hard the team supports Daniel Jones, how fervently and zealously they say he's our guy, we know that they were looking for an upgrade. And I think it makes it even harder for Daniel Jones to be as good as he can be this year. And remember, that long-term contract, and this is one of the realities of quarterback contracts, is we're waiting for Tua and Jordan Love and other guys sign their deals. The structure is the key. Where is the escape hatch? For the Giants, it's after 2 years, and this is year two. And if it doesn't work this year, Daniel Jones is done.
Well, but somebody had to know that they were on camera. It's not like it's not like this is some secret. Like
I think Brian Daboll, out of all of the people that I've seen on that show, I think that he understood better than anyone else that they were on camera. He would always find himself like in the back of the room. The only time that he would really talk is if he was doing self-deprecating stuff. I think Joe Shane likes being on camera, but I think that he is unaware of how he is coming off.
But if you have those conversations, you've got to know they're going to be used. Like, people aren't that daft. Okay. Most people aren't that.
Let me say this. They had months to review these clips. They had months to edit these episodes. They had months to come to the realization, this probably isn't the best stuff to put out there into the universe.
Yep. Mike, how do you feel Tua's situation in Miami is going? And what's the difficulty of him trying to negotiate a contract when, sure, it's a prolific offense, but there are also all sorts of concerns when it comes to Tua?
Here's what I believe has happened so far. I don't know this, but I think that 24 years of doing this and seeing the patterns and understanding how the Dolphins operate and knowing that Tua wants a market value contract. The market is the market, as he said, and his people are coming up with statistical comparisons that show that he's every bit as effective as the guys who are at the very top of the market. I believe that what the Dolphins have done, or eventually will do, they'll make him an offer that is far better than his current circumstance. His current circumstance is $23.1 million for this year, with no promise, no commitment, no security beyond this season. So you offer him something in the 40s with a lot of injury guarantee and plenty of full guarantee, but that might have the ability for the Dolphins to pull the plug after a year or two. Remember, Derek Carr got his contract with the Raiders 2 years ago, and everybody's like, oh, look at this great deal. Yeah, after 1 year, you're done. So it could be the Dolphins are trying to give him something that's far better than what he currently has, but it's far short of what he wants. He wants to be in that neighborhood of 55. So if the Dolphins are in the neighborhood of 45, it's still a lot better than what he has. So you've got what you have, what you can get, and what you want. And the only way to get what you want is to hold out. Holding in, I guess, makes sense if you think you're on the brink of getting what you want. But if you know they're never going to give you what you want, the only way to get what you want is to say, I'm not coming. Go ahead and get your starting offense ready without me. And you're right. The injuries, the effectiveness, the Mike McDaniel offense. You know, there are people who think there's 20 other quarterbacks in the NFL that could do just as well as Tua in that offense. That works against his effort to get top of the market money.
This is my next question, and it had to do with the holdout versus the hold in. I like to think that the more when I try to think about something and set aside time to really think about it, I think I can understand it better. And in this case, the more I think about hold out versus hold in, I get even more confused. That it seems like football culture has created this idea of, well, I'm holding out, but I'm still here with my teammates. I'm still part of the team. I'm not abandoning you, and you all get it, and we're all professionals, but I'm here. And then I'm thinking, if you're really negotiating, get out of there. Your teammates have to understand that you got to do what you got to do, and you don't have to be like, well, I'm here, but I'm not here. It's really kind of dumb. Like, if you're trying to drive the hardest bargain and make the team confront life without you, don't be there.
You're right. And hold in used to mean a guy is with his team and he's embellishing, exaggerating, or flat out fabricating injury. That's what it used to mean. It used to be a pejorative thing. Now it's become this alternative to staying away. You're there, you're not practicing, the team is fine with it. The problem is there's a point where the team isn't fine with it, like Roquan Smith and the Bears 2 years ago. There's a time where you got to go get your helmet and get ready. Week one is coming. So you don't have the same leverage. You don't exert the same pressure on the team if you're there, because the team knows at the end of the day, you're there. And it's a lot harder to leave than it is to never show up. So I'm with you. Don't show up. Yeah, you got to pay fines. That's fine. That's fine, because if you're under your rookie contract, they'll waive the fines like the 49ers surely did with Nick Bosa last year. But staying away creates maximum pressure on the team. And the problem with the hold-in, like Tyreek Hill said earlier this week, oh, I think Tua will practice. He's too competitive. He won't stay out of practice. Well, dude, come on, support your player. You got to understand why he's not practicing. He doesn't want to get himself injured when he's on the brink of the payday he's trying to get. So I think it's better to just say, I'm out. I want what I want, and give me what I want, and I'm not showing up until I get what I want.
There's also a bit of reverse psychology to this. Like, you have to be able to walk away from some money knowing that you could walk away from all of it. If you're there and you don't want to get fined, then you need the money, which is losing leverage.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And look, people will say when a player who's under contract holds out, he's violating his contract. You have to honor your contract. And folks don't realize there are two contracts at play here: your individual contract with the team and the broader contract between the league and the NFL Players Association, which gives the players rights to stay away. If they're willing to incur the potential fines, they have every right to stay away. $40,000 a day for a guy like Tua. And when you're in your fifth year option, like Tua is, if you miss a preseason game, the fine is in the amount of a regular season game check. Now, again, they can waive it. One of the big wins for the NFL in the most recent CBA in 2020, the fines for guys on their second contracts and beyond are not waivable. I don't know how they enforce that, but they cannot be waived. That money must be collected from whatever the player is paid. So it's just more pressure on the player, but the player has rights to stay away. And I believe now, look, sometimes you may swing and miss. You better be good enough and important enough and valuable enough to the team so that when you hold out, they'll take it seriously. Like if the long snapper holds out, they're going to say, all right, cut that guy and give me another long snapper. You got to be good. You got to be sure that it's going to get the right response. But if you're one of those guys, that's the way to get what you deserve. Stay away until they cave. And usually they do cave.
There are a lot of people that still have some questions about Jordan Love. I am not one of them. But when it comes to his situation, considering where this is going, what are the pros and cons of just paying him now? Because if you just try to kick this down the road, what you might end up having to pay him could be way more than what you'd have to pay him now.
Well, here's the key. He's not going to play for $10.5 million this year, and that's what he's due to make. And I wrote something yesterday trying to explain to folks, look, the low salary this year makes it easier for him to get to, if the goal is to get to $55.1 million a year and say, I'm the highest paid player in NFL history. And for some guys, you want that. Agents want that. They want to be able to say, look what I negotiated, now hire me to represent you in your contract talks. So because he's only at 10.5, the new money average that drives that big number we always see on Twitter from the usual suspects, it's easier to get to that number. Trevor Lawrence got to 55, even though I think it's like $47 million per year, which isn't anything to sneeze at, but it's not 55. So there's a way to do it. And again, the escape hatch is the key. How many years will the Packers be tied? At one extreme, you've got the Browns and Deshaun Watson, who are stuck for 5 years unless they're going to pay him to not play for them. Then you got the Derek Carr example I mentioned. Oh, 3 years, $40 million plus per year. And yeah, after one season, he's done. Where does Jordan Love fit on that spectrum? Is it a 2-year commitment like Daniel Jones? Is it 3 years? When can the Packers say, you know, we thought we had a guy here that was going to be the next in the line of Favre to Rodgers to Love, and it just isn't working out. We got to move on. That's part of this. That's a huge part of this. When can the team say, oh, well, time to go forward and find a new quarterback?
So what's going on with this 18th game that we all totally saw coming, but everybody's pretending like they didn't see it coming?
You know, my good friend Peter King called me yesterday, even though he's retired. I can tell he's missing it a little bit. You know, it's that time of year. And he pointed out to me something I didn't know. Lloyd Howell, the NFLPA executive director, had an interview with the Washington Post. And that was when Howell acknowledged there are high-level discussions already happening about 18 games. Peter pointed out that a few weeks ago, Howell was interviewed by Mike Jones of The Athletic. And one of Howell's quotes was, "Who doesn't want more football? I know I do." And my takeaway from this is, you got to play hard to get. You got to fight. Because if you don't fight the NFL on this, they're going to screw you. They are ruthless and they are relentless and they are going to grab territory like, I don't want to make any examples here that are going to get me, oh, look at this quote that he put out there. Look at what he compared the NFL to. But the NFL is ruthless and relentless and they will grab territory. And they will, if you roll over, they will kick you until you roll over again. So at some point, the NFLPA has to stand up and say, we don't want to play 18 games. And if you eventually agree to it, you will have fought and gotten a better deal. I'm concerned they're not going to get the best possible deal for their players because they're just going to say, hey, we're all going to make more money if we play 18 games. Who doesn't want more football? Let's play more football. Let's get paid more. And they're not going to get the concessions that they could get if they agree to 18 games while this current CBA is still pending.
All right, I was writing down all of the references that you decided not to use right there. I wrote down, like, that could be the Third Reich annexing Sudetenland.
It could be more modern.
It could be Crimea. It could be Ukraine. I was joking.
Maybe guy who has a Super Bowl ring that he didn't earn.
Okay. Got it.
Mike, is the Amari Cooper thing a template for what the 49ers can do with Brandon Ayuk?
I think Ayuk is looking for something that is more not short term. This is, he wants a deal like, not that he wants Justin Jefferson money, but, Amari Cooper has gotten his second contract already. He signed for $20 million a year when $20 million a year was a lot to pay a receiver. Ayuk wants his first big second contract. And the 49ers just have to figure this out. He reported which causes him to lose leverage. He should have stayed away like Nick Bosa did last year if he was intent on getting the contract he wants. See, he's a team player. He's a good guy. He does everything they expect, and they use that against you. It's the 18-game example. The more compliant you are, the more they will take advantage of you. They know it. They play that game. I hate to be that cynical. They've made me that cynical. The good guys don't get taken care of. The squeaky wheel is what gets greased. And Brandon Ayuk, by simply requesting a trade last week and then showing up for training camp, he is not squeaking nearly enough to get what he wants.
Mike, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. See you.
That is Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Next up, we're going to hear from a defensive player that gives us some insight in the Bears' offense, because I think we have to figure out who we trust when it comes to who's saying what about where some improvements are coming from. Does that make any sense? Okay.
Accountability, kind of.
There it is. We'll talk Bears next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Odyssey Station.
Tevin, the cadence issues that you guys were having with Caleb back in June, I guess, May, June.
It's all ironed out.
I was going to ask if you felt like that's solved.
Yeah, it's ironed out right now. We're doing really good on it, and hopefully we keep on continuing growing off that.
So do you believe Tevin Jenkins?
To a certain extent, I've found him to be one of the truth tellers.
I feel like he is also one of the guys who will say the right things, too. And I'm not saying that he'll say the right things at the cost of integrity, just that he will say the right things. And, like, he's the dude who helped his quarterback up off the ground, and he's that kind of person.
I think when you look at the issue of Caleb and his cadence and Kalen Kaler, when you look at that, look to what other offensive players and the head coach have said. Clearly, it was a thing. And yesterday, we kind of went through the idea of it on a spectrum where 0 is a complete disaster and 10 is Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes.
Where it's a weapon.
Where you're turning it into a weapon.
Where your ability to call it, you're so good at stringing your words and reading a defense, using your, as you're talking, you're seeing everything, and you can go green 19 hot, and catch somebody where they don't want to be.
So if that's our spectrum, then Caleb's probably at, it would be fair to believe that he's probably at a 3 or a 4, because he hasn't played any games.
That might be actually generous.
Yeah.
I think he's in a 3 or a 4.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing that, but there was clearly movement in the right direction from what the people there said. Maybe Tevin Jenkins was a little over the top saying, oh, you know, everything's fine. There's no issue anymore. But what if we heard it from the perspective of someone who has to, I don't know, pay attention to his snap count because you're trying to get to him? Andrew Billings had some thoughts on how Caleb's doing with his cadence.
Sharper. It's sharper. It's more precise. We've been getting him that move call and messing up his offensive line, and he's taking notice of that. So now, you know, he's calling more hard counts and all that. So that's really helped us out there, and I think it's going to show in the game as well.
Is there an art to doing that in a game setting?
Yeah, but I'm not.
In trouble?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that. For the public.
He's basically saying, I'm not going to tell you how to beat me.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you how to get me to jump offsides.
I would love to know, like, what he says when he's right in front of the center. Like, I would be talking constantly. Like, I would not shut up.
It'd be like John Randall.
Yeah, I would be. If I was the nose guard, I would never shut up.
Well, John Randall used to go into the media guides, and he would get everybody's wife's name and names of their kids and find all the personal information he could, and he never stopped. And I've heard it at field level, and I've seen offensive players look at him like, come on, man.
That's not right.
You're like, are you serious? And it just became a thing because he was such a maniac. And they like back then, like, you wouldn't believe it. This guy's crazy.
It's the scene from the movie The Program. Wait, Dan, have you seen The Program?
I don't think so.
Studs, have you seen The Program?
Negative.
Layla? Ray?
I have not.
I'm on an island of being the only one on this show that's seen The Program?
Can you tell us about it?
Tell us about it.
It's basically a movie that's based on Florida State. And they're called ESU. But their star player is, he's Alvin Mack, right? Because
not Shelvin Mack.
Or, right? Because I think it's Alvin Mack is that character. And then the other Mack character in Draft Day is Sheldon Mack. Anyway, that's not important. But that character would come up to the line and he'd be like, hey, you used to date my sister. Hey, you got my mom hooked on drugs. And the guy on the other side of the line would be like, I don't even know your family. Like, what are we doing right now? I can't believe you guys have never seen The Program.
And then he's like, look over there. Whoop.
And then he'd just rough you up. That scene of him in the video room is excellent, too, where they show him and they ask him to name out what he's supposed to. I am flabbergasted that you guys have never seen The Program. Omar Epps is in it, or Mike Tomlin. Because at the time, I believe Mike Tomlin.
At the same time.
Well, that Mike Tomlin was playing football back then. So it could have been Mike Tomlin and not Omar. Halle Berry's in it.
Or James Caan.
Yeah, he's the coach.
Yeah, it's just the time commitment to movies.
James Caan, Halle Berry, Omar Epps.
Maybe on a plane.
That's all I've heard of. Oh, Joey Lauren Adams.
Plane would do.
And Latimer, you know the character Latimer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Studs, No? No help there? Seat at the table?
I've never seen the move. Why would I know the character?
Because that character has been on social media a lot. Like, he clearly did some things to get himself from the scout team to the first team. And he's seat at the table, seat at the table. And then he goes out there and he headbutts a window at a car and sets off the alarm because he's on that junk.
Rotten Tomatoes reports that 43% of the 21 reviewers gave the film a positive review.
You're damn right they did.
James Berendelli said,
"What's the audience score?
Prepare to be inundated."
Who cares about the reviews? What's the audience score?
The average rating is 5.1 out of 10. But it says, "Prepare to be inundated by a load of feeble, unimaginative material that's almost impossible to take seriously."
Is that true?
I would say now, looking back on it 30 years ago, a lot of the stuff that they had in there, pretty accurate.
Also, let's face it, sometimes critically judged movies don't always translate to the real people.
Especially football movies. It's like Varsity Blues in that some of it is over the top, but it doesn't, it's not, I think Varsity Blues, that there is at least a wink.
I don't know that anybody was going to watch Varsity Blues for its potential Oscar nominations.
And of course, the connection being Scott Conn is in Varsity Blues.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't want your laugh.
Your laugh.
So the program got banned. Before people got to see it, don't lay in the street people.
Yeah.
It's a movie.
One of the hazing things in the movie is the freshman having to lay on the highway. And it was like a whole thing, and it got banned.
Okay,
because
people were imitating it.
No,
I'm with you. It's an archetype. Like, people use it to compare things. I just hadn't seen it.
Man, Studs, after you see this movie, you're going to be like, why didn't someone tell me about this movie earlier? Perfect football movie. Their quarterback has to go to rehab.
Oh, I've heard about it. Plenty of people told me about it.
His name is Joe Kane. I think Christy Swanson is in it too, before she went crazy. K-A-N-E, not C-A-I-N.
Okay.
Joe Kane.
I did want to impugn the great Joe Kane.
Because Joe Kane used to be a linebacker here, and he actually also used to be a linebacker here.
And a score host.
That's what I mean. He did shows.
The famous Joe Kane overnight show.
Where he was begging people to call.
Do we have that audio somewhere?
Oh, I heard about this.
I need a phone call. Somebody call the number, please.
Yeah, it was a rough day.
What happened to Matt Rhule?
Is he okay?
I think that the pressure of being the Nebraska Cornhuskers coach in year two is usually when Matt Rhule's teams get it right, though. Usually the second season under Matt Rhule is when they take a jump. He's another one of those program builders.
Did Jervon Dexter give him his leftover honey buns?
Wow, I don't know if we have to.
I'm just curious.
Treat that man like that.
The lighting has not been kind to these coaches.
That's what it is.
No, listen here.
That's what happened to Bielema.
No, do you know? Well, Bielema was just poor framing. Like, what? Bielema was like a percent of the frame in Big Ten media days yesterday. I was like, why did you guys surround Brett Bielema by all of the eyes in the Illinois backdrop? Like, why was that necessary? Zoom in. Matt Rhule just looks like his hair is fluorescent because of the lighting.
I just want to, you know who he also looks like? I don't know if we've ever done this.
Hmm.
He looks like souped up Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, a little bit.
So I was in Philly. So I would talk to him like for work every now and then. I would do interviews with Matt Rhule.
Yeah, he's got a little Patton Oswalt in him.
I can see that. That's friend of the show.
Friend of the show. We need to have Pat's got something going on. He's got a new game show or something. We should get him back on.
Yeah, he does. It's like this, it's like genius trivia or something like that.
He was also one of the first people to have a French bulldog. You know, they got real popular, but I feel like he was a trendsetter in that.
Yeah.
You know, and real quick, since we mentioned Brett Bielema, video game Brett Bielema, I want to give him a shout out because in my Road to the Glory game on the new NCAA game last night, playing Georgia, we're down 14 in the fourth quarter.
You played as the Illini?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hold on. No. We don't get to go any further in this conversation without there being some sort of admittance here. You mean that Mr. Leatherneck himself?
Western's not in the game.
You didn't take the time to build Western?
No, their football program's a disgrace right now. I don't want to bother
with
them.
Yeah, but why can't you build it in its idealized image?
Until they win a game in real life, they're not being blessed with me, all right? That's like, what
wow.
I say.
Like, I'm going to... He's withholding donations from the university. That the pocketbook is zipped shut.
Yeah, win a damn game. Win a damn game, and then I'll consider taking the 2 hours to make your bleepy program.
He needs his Kamala there at Western to get things going.
Wait, has anybody checked on Cali's shady NIL team yet?
So yes, Goff talked a little bit about it on the Full Go podcast that apparently, at least from Sunday, Cali didn't even have the game yet, which is shocking because he does video game reviews. So you would think he would have it.
He was very excited.
I had to jump out of the NBC Sports Chicago League.
Oh, I heard that the deadline discussion got really ridiculous. And like certain people wanted everybody to have their team set within a certain amount of time.
People didn't even have systems.
Yeah.
I was at SEC Media Days, Dan.
I was hearing about that.
And my watch just kept going off. And I'm like, what is going on? And it was just the thread of all of the people in the NBC Sports Chicago League talking about league rules and draft order.
Like work.
And that's what I said.
The
I was like,
the person who wanted the league's draft done quickly order. Is the funniest part.
Yeah, you get to draft a team and you're gonna play as that team.
In the college football game?
Yeah.
Or are they talking about a Madden draft?
No, it was for college football, but we had to draft teams for it.
You gotta pick up the team as is. Oh, you're talking about like draft which school you
Yeah, okay, you're gonna play with Alabama, which is what I could have drafted at number 5 if I would have stayed in it. But I was like, you guys talk too much. And this is too much. This is work.
But the person who wanted the league done the fastest, it was kind of surprising.
No, it's not when you hear the stories.
And then there was an implication that they, you know, that person's directives usually are followed.
Yeah, all I'll say is that the person who was spending the most time inside the chat is the person with the most responsibility, maybe in Chicago when it comes to broadcasting.
And that was my favorite part.
And I'm like, wow, this is way too much. And then, so when I walked in and told the guys I was not going to be in the league, they were like, yeah, we get it. We totally get it. It's way too much. We've had to mute the conversations too. I'm like, that's not a fun league if you got to mute the conversations for it. It's maybe like, just don't do it every 20 seconds.
Tearing you guys apart.
Me and my buddies are going to do a dynasty league in the Mountain West. And it was very, everyone already knew what school they wanted. It worked
Let's
out really well.
Get weird.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be CSU. We're running the air raid.
At some point, I'm going to create DePaul football. At some point, I'll do that. But for right now, I'll roll with Bama. But my whole thing is, I can just give me your gamer tags, and then we can just play occasionally. We don't have to make it a thing. And they were making it a thing.
I was like, wait, who wants this league done the fastest?
Yeah.
So to bring this back around to what I was trying to get to, video game Brett Bielema, we were down 14 and we scored. What's he do? He calls for the 2-point conversion. We got it and we won by a point because of it. It was outstanding. I never thought that would happen without me calling for it. The CPU, Brett Bielema, called for the 2-point conversion when we were down 14.
I could see that.
Does this now change your view of real life Brett Bielema?
No.
And the Illini football program?
He's the same to me.
I still can't believe he crushed.
I think higher of video game Brett Bielema, though.
We have High Noon coming up next. I have a situation where life has imitated a classic old joke.
I am going to share what one of our Odyssey colleagues did with Nicholas Castellanos.
I have to ask you a question. Have you guys talked about this yet? Because if not, why?
Have we?
Yes, okay. We have.
In that case, Rogue Animal seems happy.
Next.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When?
High Noon.
It is now officially the downhill portion of your work week. Wednesday, High Noon, here on the Bernstein and Holmes Show with Layla Rahimi. And we talked about that Cubs loss last night that was exciting, compelling, excruciating, and oddly perfect to sum up what a team that has chosen this life around the margins can be subject to when they live in the in-between. We discussed the Tyone conundrum of what to do and how he's navigating his way through some of the uncertainty, and he seems to be handling it just fine and knowing what could come, but it's too bad that we're talking about it in the way that we are. Gervon Dexter is in the best shape of his life, and we'll figure out what that means for him. Mike Florio talked all things football, and we heard Andrew Billings, the Bears defensive tackle, discussing his impressions of the offense.
It's you know, we joke about the Castellanos effect, but the reason that we joke about it is that it does keep happening. And the Ben and Wood show on our sister station, 97.3, they went through it.
Here's a list of all of the Castellanos home run during significant events. You ready? We all remember the after the apology for the homophobic slur on the broadcast. That happened in the middle of the apology.
There's a deep drive to left,
and I don't think I'm coming back here again. Career-threatening injury for Fernando Tatis Jr. A eulogy for a World War II veteran. A 9/11 tribute video package on the air. The apology of opposing team's coach getting a DUI. 10 minutes after Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. Right after Dwayne Haskins' death. The eulogy for the just-deceased PA announcer for the stadium. The cancer announcement for his own team's owner. The Vin Scully death announcement. An hour after the death of Queen Elizabeth was announced. A bridge collapsing. The Oceangate submarine explosion. Three other celebrity deaths. Two home runs on the anniversary of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The assassination attempt on Trump. And Biden withdrawing from the race. He's a witch.
Okay, we are moving the goalposts on this whole thing.
Are we?
Yes. This is becoming like the Lincoln-Kennedy coincidences here.
Did you know that Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy, and Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln?
This is completely improperly defined here.
I disagree.
The bit was he was homering during something that was being said by the broadcaster. Something somber or something that where there would be a discordant tone struck where they had to interrupt what they were saying to call the home run. It isn't coincidental with news events.
Why are you got to take the fun out of it?
Because that's not what this is.
It's turned into.
It started as the one thing and now it's turned into the other. Let's just enjoy it.
I thought it was
kind of like how we have a non-sports segment during a sports show.
We would never do that. We've never in the history of the score have we ever done a non-sports segment in the middle of a sports show.
And then, you know, the people complain, the ones who are definitely longtime listeners, they've never heard the segment.
What if we go ahead and continue with the second half?
What if we called it High Noon and it wasn't at noon?
What if we called it Secondhand Nudes?
Yeah. Why don't you?
What if we called it the Midday Midway?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were talking, Lawrence. I'm sorry. I saw the laugh and you switch on the microphone.
I did mine.
Well, still. All right, so somehow a lost donkey was seen living with an elk herd 5 years later, living his best life.
Nice.
He lasted 5 years. Diesel the donkey disappeared in 2019, and he appears to be thriving with some new companions in the California wild.
Maybe he identifies as an elk.
Why are they cool with it is the bigger question, because elk are not exactly chill animals.
Maybe they also respect that he identifies as an elk.
I saw the video of this, and I saw like the owners being like rolling up and being like, oh, there he is.
And they knew exactly.
No, I'm not. I'm an elk.
They knew exactly who it was. That was the wild part, too. Triathlete and hunter, because this guy has to spend all his time outdoors. Max Fennell wrote on Instagram, I bumped into a herd of elk that have adopted a donkey. I can't get over seeing it, and I'm amazed that the donkey looks happy and healthy. And listen, they say animals don't smile, but this animal truly looks like he is smiling. I will say that. So he shows the donkey hanging out with a dozen elk. Like, they're all just cool with this. That's the part that really gets me. And yeah, he the owner saw the video clip and was like, no, that's definitely him. That's Diesel.
That's my donkey.
No, not anymore. He belongs to the Elks
to
now.
To the streets.
To the benevolent Elks.
Yeah, this is very confusing because I feel like there's a lot of plot twists that are just really unexpected and unlikely. So he had been hiking with his previous owner's husband when something spooked him and he got away. And for weeks, they searched for him, but they couldn't find him. And then there he was, thriving, hanging out with these Elks. And he was originally adopted through a Bureau of Land Management program, and maybe that's why he wanted to go back. I don't know, but the Elks are cool with it, which is the most interesting part of this.
Diesel's for happy. The streets.
Screw you guys, I'm becoming an Elk.
Most are for the streets, but usually, like, the streets do something to you. In this case, the streets are a happy place.
You know, I try to have sympathy for all, and some earn it, and some don't get a whole lot of it. And surfers in shark-infested waters who get attacked by sharks are really low on my list. Because
I never saw this coming.
Because you're on a silhouette that makes you look like a seal. And a shark thinks you're a seal. It's not mad at you. It's just pointing at you. No, it's just hungry, and it thinks you're a seal. And if you're out there, and, for example, you get your leg bitten off, it happens. Sure. And that's what happened to Kai McKenzie, the brand new party animal, a 23-year-old surfer in Australia.
Sports animal.
And he was mauled by a shark off North Shore Beach in Port Macquarie or Macquarie. And luckily, somebody found him. They used a dog leash as a tourniquet, saved his life until the paramedics got there. And then what happened? Shortly thereafter, his leg washed ashore.
Oh, no.
Well, at least they found it.
They found it, and they took it to the hospital just in case maybe they could try to reattach it. But so he had all this happened.
Yeah, in the water, maybe, but it's salt water, so probably not.
That's the opposite. Salt is the great destroyer.
And you also have things biting on it and all that. But either way, he had this whole thing, and he was saved. And then afterward, here came the leg washing ashore. Which reminded me of a joke that is, I mean, this joke, I believe, is hundreds of years old in one form or another.
A Jewish grandmother takes her grandson to the beach, having a great time when a giant wave rushes ashore and sweeps the boy out to sea. The grandmother is distraught. She looks up at the heavens and she says, "Please, God, I'll do anything. Bring back our little boy." Next second, another wave comes ashore, dumps the boy back on the beach completely unharmed. Grandmother looks at the boy, she looks at the heavens, and she says, "He was wearing a hat."
So all I could think of was, here he comes, he's alive, he's been bitten, his leg's been bitten up by a great white shark, and you're standing there, well, you know, he had another leg. Like, oh, sorry. Sorry, here you go. It's a little late, but here it is. And that joke has been discussed by very smart people about what it means. And yeah, it's funny and it makes fun of the impossible to please Jewish grandmother and, you know, trying to bargain with God. But it does go back to Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah and the idea of a covenant working both ways. The idea of you're supposed to, in a covenant, there's a negotiation. It's not one way, and it should be like, well, you know, you said this, you're supposed to do this, and that is an ongoing theme throughout much of the Old Testament, but it's all I could think of. You know,
are you saying, like, when Abraham's like, I did all this killing?
Well, it was,
and now what?
No, it was more about Sodom and Gomorrah, where God is like, you know what, I'm destroying this whole city. And Abraham's like, whoa, you can't destroy the whole city. Not everybody there is guilty of sin. And God thinks about it. God's like, well, okay, if you can find 50 innocent people, I'll spare the whole town. So it's stuff like that, where it wasn't just like God decrees this and does this. You're kind of like, no, this is a covenant. We're going to negotiate this. So,
and then he flooded the whole world.
Well, yeah, he got a little pissed off at that point. I was like, yeah, nope, we're done. That's High Noon. Next up, Russell Dorsey will talk baseball on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, an Odyssey station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
It is now officially the downhill portion of your work week. Wednesday, high noon, here on the Bernstein and Holmes Show with Layla Rahimi. And we talked about that Cubs loss last night that was exciting, compelling, excruciating, and oddly perfect to sum up what a team that has chosen this life around the margins can be subject to when they live in the in-between. We discussed the Tyone conundrum of what to do and how he's navigating his way through some of the uncertainty, and he seems to be handling it just fine and knowing what could come, but it's too bad that we're talking about it in the way that we are. Jervon Dexter is in the best shape of his life, and we'll figure out what that means for him. Mike Florio talked all things football, and we heard Andrew Billings, the Bears defensive tackle, discussing his impressions of the offense.
You know, we joke about the Castellanos effect, but the reason that we joke about it is that it does keep happening. And the Ben and Wood show on our sister station, 97.3, they went through it.
Here's a list of all of the Castellanos home run during significant events. You ready? We all remember the after the apology for the homophobic slur on the broadcast. That happened in the middle of the apology.
There's a deep drive to left,
and I don't think I'm coming back here again. Career-threatening injury for Fernando Tatis Jr. A eulogy for a World War II veteran. A 9/11 tribute video package on the air. The apology of opposing team's coach getting a DUI. 10 minutes after Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. Right after Dwayne Haskins' death. The eulogy for the just-deceased PA announcer for the stadium. The cancer announcement for his own team's owner. The Vin Scully death announcement. An hour after the death of Queen Elizabeth was announced. A bridge collapsing. The OceanGate submarine explosion. Three other celebrity deaths. Two home runs on the anniversary of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The assassination attempt on Trump. And Biden withdrawing from the race. He's a witch.
Okay, we are moving the goalposts on this whole thing.
Are we?
Yes. This is becoming like the Lincoln-Kennedy coincidences here.
Did you know that Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy, and Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln?
This is completely improperly defined here.
I disagree.
The bit was he was homering during something that was being said by the broadcaster. Something somber or something that where there would be a discordant tone struck where they had to interrupt what they were saying to call the home run. It isn't coincidental with news events.
Why are you got to take the fun out of it? Why can't
because
it?
Have, not, why can't only, it? Because that's not what this is. But
that's what maybe, it's turned into.
Maybe it started as the one thing and now it's turned into the other. Let's just enjoy it.
I thought it was
kind of like how we have a non-sports segment during a sports show.
We would never do that. We've never in the history of the score have we ever done a non-sports segment in the middle of a sports show.
And then, you know, the people complain, the ones who are definitely longtime listeners, they've never heard the segment.
What if we go ahead and continue with the second half?
What if we called it High Noon and it wasn't at noon?
What if we called it Secondhand Nudes?
Yeah. Why don't you...
What if we called it the Midday Midway?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were talking, Lawrence. I'm sorry. I saw the laugh and you switch on the microphone.
I did mine.
Well, still. All right, so somehow a lost donkey was seen living with an elk herd 5 years later, living his best life.
Nice.
He lasted 5 years. Diesel the donkey disappeared in 2019, and he appears to be thriving with some new companions in the California wild.
Maybe he identifies as an elk.
Why are they cool with it is the bigger question, because elk are not exactly chill animals.
Maybe they also respect that he identifies as an elk.
I saw the video of this, and I saw like the owners being like rolling up and being like, oh, there he is.
And they
like,
knew
no,
exactly,
I'm not. I'm an elk.
They knew exactly who it was. That was the wild part, too. Triathlete and hunter, because this guy has to spend all his time outdoors. Max Fennell wrote on Instagram, I bumped into a herd of elk that have adopted a donkey. I can't get over seeing it, and I'm amazed that the donkey looks happy and healthy. And listen, they say animals don't smile, but this animal truly looks like he is smiling. I will say that. So he shows the donkey hanging out with a dozen elk. Like, they're all just cool with this. That's the part that really gets me. And the owner saw the video clip and was like, no, that's definitely him. That's Diesel.
That's my donkey.
No, not anymore. He belongs to the elks
now. To the streets.
To the benevolent elks.
Yeah, this is very confusing because I feel like there's a lot of plot twists that are just really unexpected and unlikely. So he had been hiking with his previous owner's husband when something spooked him and he got away. And for weeks, they searched for him, but they couldn't find him. And then there he was, thriving, hanging out with these elks. And he was originally adopted through a Bureau of Land Management program, and maybe that's why he wanted to go back. I don't know, but the elks are cool with it, which is the most interesting part of this.
Diesel's for the streets.
Screw you guys, I'm becoming an elk.
Most are for the streets, but usually, like, the streets do something to you. In this case, the streets are a happy place.
You know, I try to have sympathy for all, and some earn it, and some don't get a whole lot of it. And surfers in shark-infested waters who get attacked by sharks are really low on my list. Because
I never saw this coming.
Because you're on a silhouette that makes you look like a seal. And a shark thinks you're a seal. It's not mad at you. It's just pointing at you. No, it's just hungry, and it thinks you're a seal. And if you're out there, and, for example, you get your leg bitten off, it happens. Sure. And that's what happened to Kai McKenzie, the brand new party animal, a 23-year-old surfer in Australia.
Sports animal.
And he was mauled by a shark off North Shore Beach in Port Macquarie. And luckily, somebody found him. They used a dog leash as a tourniquet, saved his life until the paramedics got there. And then what happened? Shortly thereafter, his leg washed ashore.
Oh, no.
Well, at least they found it.
They found it, and they took it to the hospital just in case maybe they could try to reattach it. But so he had all this happened.
Yeah, in the water, maybe, but it's salt water, so yeah, probably
that's the
not.
Opposite. Salt is the great destroyer.
And you also have things biting on it and all that. But either way, he had this whole thing, and he was saved. And then afterward, here came the leg washing ashore. Which reminded me of a joke that is, I mean, this joke, I believe, is hundreds of years old in one form or another.
A Jewish grandmother takes her grandson to the beach, having a great time when a giant wave rushes ashore and sweeps the boy out to sea. The grandmother is distraught. She looks up at the heavens and she says, "Please, God, I'll do anything. Bring back our little boy." Next second, another wave comes ashore, dumps the boy back on the beach completely unharmed. Grandmother looks at the boy, she looks at the heavens, and she says, "He was wearing a hat."
So all I could think of was, here he comes, he's alive, he's been bitten, his legs been bitten by a great white shark, and you stand there, well, you know, he had another leg. Like, oh, sorry. Sorry, here you go. It's a little late, but here it is. And that joke has been discussed by very smart people about what it means. And yeah, it's funny and it makes fun of the impossible to please Jewish grandmother and, you know, trying to bargain with God. But it does go back to Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah and the idea of a covenant working both ways. The idea of you're supposed to, in a covenant, there's a negotiation. It's not one way, and it should be like, well, you know, you said this, you're supposed to do this, and that is an ongoing theme throughout much of the Old Testament, but it's all I could think of. You know,
saying, like, when Abraham's like, I did all this killing.
Well, it was,
and now what?
No, it was more about Sodom and Gomorrah, where God is like, you know what, I'm destroying this whole city. And Abraham's like, whoa, you can't destroy the whole city. Not everybody there is guilty of sin. And God thinks about it. God's like, well, okay, if you can find 50 innocent people, I'll spare the whole town. So it's stuff like that, where it wasn't just like God decrees this and does this. You're going to be like, no, this is a covenant. We're going to negotiate this. So,
and then he footed the whole world.
Well, yeah, he got a little pissed off at that point. I was like, yeah, nope, we're done. That's High Noon. Next up, Russell Dorsey will talk baseball on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.